Less than a minute to get out of here. That was Jazza Ginturin with Recycling. Love before that, Arthur Lee, his later incarnation of love, the Blue Thumb Love, I'll Pray For You. Bex Birch did Fruit Smoothie with Peanut Butter. Mr. Griddles gave us Grand Central. Mike Dillon with Brian Haas and Nikki Glaspie did Pandas. Thanks to Gus Bodenheim for that wonderful rendition of You're the Goods. My name's Irwin. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Monica filling in for me next week, next Wednesday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. And stay tuned for 7 Second Delay with Ken and Andy. My name's Irwin. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org.
Welcome to 7 Second Delay. Tonight we are joined live from Miami Beach with Andy Breckman. Welcome, Andy.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, you sound really bad.
I do?
Yeah. Are you pointing your mouth towards the microphone?
Yeah, I sound better. I mean, I feel better than I've ever felt. So this is,
okay, well,
this
you're saying, yeah, I guess it's we're just going to have to work with it.
Well, wait, do you want me to...
No, this is fine.
No, wait, hold on. Do you want me to try my Apple EarPod?
No, because we're on the air and the show has begun. And
do you want me to take this cloth gag out of my mouth?
Yes, that would be great.
Okay.
And if you have a hoodie over your face or anything, you can remove that.
Yes.
Okay.
Done and done.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I'm seeing my hotel room for the first time.
Yeah, you sound
this
much
nice.
Better. What hotel?
How are you doing, Kenny?
Good. What hotel are you in there in Miami Beach?
You know, it's funny. I forget the name of it. Isn't that funny? You could stay at a place and spend a few days there and forget the name of the hotel.
Did you write down the address in case you get lost? You can find your way back?
Isn't that funny? I forgot to tell you. I know we've known each other for decades now. I'm illiterate. I can't write anything.
Is your wife Bethy there? Could she tell us where you are? Because we do have listeners.
Isn't it funny? She's all the way in the other room. Isn't that funny? It's too far to go. I don't think they're going to learn where I am.
I was going to say, we do have listeners in Miami Beach. You know, the people.
Well, if we have listeners in Miami, okay. If someone calls from Miami Beach, I will meet them for a milkshake after the show.
Okay. That sounds good.
So only if they're cool. I don't want to be embarrassed being seen with them.
Oh. You sure they have to be cool?
Yes. What percentage of FMU listeners would you say are cool? It's not a rhetorical question. I happen to know the answer.
Well, I'm going by the last survey, which said 48%.
Okay, I'm going by the last record fair. The answer is 4%.
I think we're going to have to just split the difference.
I think you're going to have to just split the difference.
So you've been...
You split the difference. I've got a life.
What have you been doing the last couple of weeks? You're in Miami Beach now. You were in...
Today Beth and I met up with a friend, and we toured a Little Havana.
Uh-huh.
And did you know in Little Havana there's a monument, there's a big monument on a corner to commemorate the Bay of Pigs?
Really?
Yeah, there's a giant... huge, and there's a giant statue, and there's a big plaque,
and what
to commemorate the freedom fighters that Kennedy sent into Cuba.
Wow, it was a disaster.
That's not on the plaque. I guess the plaque. I didn't read the whole plaque.
Yeah,
if all you saw was this monument, you'd think it was one of the great military victories of our country's history.
Yeah, from what I heard about it, it did not go so well.
Well, just remind me, because you know more about history than I did. Did it overthrow the Castro regime? I don't remember. Did it succeed?
No, then
I guess you're right. Oh, okay.
Not at all.
Oh, not at all. Okay.
Yeah. But did you get a picture of yourself in front of that Bay of Pigs statue?
No, but I did think of you and how much you probably would have loved it. And the food was great. Bethy was in foodie heaven.
Uh-huh.
And I bought some cigars, a lot of cigar stores, hand rolled cigars.
That's great.
Yeah. So that was a fun day in Miami.
And before you got to Miami Beach, you were at the Sundance Film Festival, were you not?
Well, I did that. I did Key West. I'm enjoying this because I'm an empty nester for the first time. So I'm just kind of enjoying my freedom. But I'll be back. I'll be in the studio the week after.
If I'm not mistaken, you're not an empty nester yet. I think you have a kid at home. Did you leave?
Hold on. I can check. Can you just hold for one second?
Yeah. Did you, I hope you left him.
You are absolutely right. Holy moly. I'm so glad we talked.
Did you leave him some food?
I'm not an empty nester yet.
Yeah, your son, Evan.
Well, Evan, it turns out, is doing a semester away. So we are, we're temporary empty nesters. We're empty nesters with an asterisk.
Gotcha. Okay.
Now, how are you doing, buddy? Enough about me. Tell me about yourself. How was your show this morning? I hate to say, I'm embarrassed to say it. I missed it.
Oh, yeah. Well, what's the word on the street down there?
The word on the street is that had great energy, great, great energy from top to bottom.
Yeah, I think it did. I think that's right.
The headline that I've from the reviews I've been reading,
uh-huh.
Ben Friedman still got it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad the Miami papers papers are still giving me good press.
Yeah, no, you're getting great rave reviews down here in Miami.
That's good news.
No, you haven't lost a step. Fantastic.
So it's unusual to have you back live. We've been airing a lot of listener quizzes. People have been enjoying those quite a bit.
And when you say people, well, who do you mean?
I mean Matt from Springfield.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly who that. He's the fish. We want to
be. Yeah. Hey, don't forget to keep your mouth pointed at that microphone.
Fine.
Sounds like you're looking all over the place.
Well, I have to look at sometimes all over the place. There's a giant rat on my desk.
a giant rat on your desk?
There's a rat. Yeah, there's a rat a few inches to my left, and it's really hard for me not to be looking at him.
Is it one of those inflatable rats like you're a...
No, this is a rat from Borneo. He's as big as a rabbit.
Oh, it's one of those giant rats, like the giant...
It's very distracting, but if you want me to, I'll ignore him, Ken.
Yes, ignore.
Talk.
No, you really should ignore. You should ignore.
Ken, where enough about me and my life. Where will you be next week?
I'm going to Lake Tahoe.
Oh, the last marathon must have been a big success.
Yeah, I'm gonna get me some of that atmospheric river action that they have going.
Oh, that's
on.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
They've had a bunch of snow dumped, right?
Oh yeah, they got dumped on 5 feet. Can't wait.
Perfect. It's perfect avalanche weather.
Yes,
perfect.
It is. In fact, where I'm going, two people have died this winter from avalanches.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
Well, then I'm going to take this opportunity to say I've always loved you.
Well, I knew that. But thank you for saying so anyway.
Now, if you turn around and there's an avalanche coming toward you, what are you supposed to do?
Out-ski it.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Then let me repeat, I've always loved it.
But it is impossible to out-ski it. I don't know
what... You can't out-ski it.
No,
aren't you supposed to, like, dive headfirst into the snow and then make an air pocket or something? Or isn't there a protocol?
Well, these days, people who really are at risk of running into avalanches carry inflatable balloons.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So that if an avalanche starts coming towards you, you inflate the balloon, and therefore you're lighter than the snow, so you rise up.
And the balloon is kind of on your back, like a knapsack.
Right.
Now, do you have one of those?
No.
I've always loved you, Kenny.
But there,
we'll always remember you. We'll always remember you, and this station, it will always be a living monument to your memory.
But this one ski area, you know, they've lost two people to avalanches this winter already. So I think they're going to be really careful for the rest of the winter.
Yeah, oh, they filled their quota. I think you're only supposed to lose two of these.
Yeah, I mean, that's very embarrassing that they lost two people already. So I think they're going to be
No, that's their quota. You're going to be fine.
Yeah. So I'm not worried at all.
Oh, just wear a balloon. Don't be, because it doesn't look cool. You're embarrassed to wear a balloon.
If you can rent those balloons, I don't know if you can. It's a really good question whether you can rent those avalanche balloons.
So the avalanche is coming.
Yeah.
You have what, 10 seconds? I mean, you hear it. It's like a roar, right?
Well, it depends how far away you are from the avalanche.
Okay, but let's say you have 10 seconds. That's a long time. 10 seconds. You pull what amounts to a ripcord, I guess. Is that right?
Yeah.
And there's a CO2 cartridge or something, and it must inflate the balloon right away,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it inflates it immediately, yep.
And then the avalanche hits, and you rise up through the snowbank?
I don't know. You know, I saw...
What the hell are you talking about?
I saw a video of a skier who got over... She got overtaken by the avalanche, and she pulled the ripcord, and she was skiing...
Yeah.
And she did somehow, I guess maybe because of the balloon, she stayed on top of the avalanche.
What the hell are you talking? Was it animated? Was it cartoon?
No, it was real. It was real life.
Wouldn't it be better to pull the ripcord and then, like, these two wings, like these little... you know, what do you call those things that you fly, those glider, those, you know, single passenger glider wings pop up?
That is a brilliant idea. I'm going to write.
Because all you've got to do is raise yourself 10 feet above the surface, right?
I'm writing it down. Retractable glider wings. It's a great idea, Andy.
Oh, shut up. You hate that idea. Just shut up.
I've never seen an avalanche. I would actually love to see one.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen plenty of videos. I've seen hours and hours of videos of avalanches.
Yeah. They hit you pretty hard. when they hit you.
Yeah, it's like being encased in cement is what I hear.
Yeah. It's like being encased in cement.
But you're down in Miami Beach. You know what they have down there? They have sharks.
Sharks and the possibility of a tsunami.
Yep, there you go, right? The the Canary Islands tsunami that everybody's talking about.
Yes, yes. Lots of ways to die in this world, Ken.
Yeah.
Lots of wonderful ways to die. You never know what's coming around the corner.
And there was also that hotel that collapsed in Miami Beach. That could happen to your hotel.
Yeah, you're right. It's a good point. There's a lot of gravity here in Miami. That's a very, very... In fact, we're in a heavy gravity zone. A lot more gravity here than elsewhere.
Oh, is that why it happened? I didn't realize...
Yeah, there are lots of signs of...
I didn't caution. Understand.
Caution. Heavy gravity zone.
Well, you be careful, Andy. When are you coming back to New Jersey?
Well, I'm going on a cruise ship next week.
You're going on a cruise?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You couldn't remember where you were going.
Who cares? Who cares where you're going?
I care. You don't know whether you're going.
I'm going to those islands in the Caribbean. Who knows? One of those islands.
Yeah, there's a lot of islands.
The Bahamas, one island. You can tell one from another. I can't. But I'm going with some family.
All right. Well, we're on the air. We've killed a lot of time here. We haven't gotten...
Yeah, we've done great. Is the show over?
No. No, we still have about 45 minutes to go.
Why don't you tell the good people what the topic is for this week?
I can't really explain it. Can you explain it?
Well, I guess the thinking was that a lot of our listeners are collectors. They collect. We know there's a lot of music collectors, a lot of collectors, you know, people collect vinyl records and CDs. But there are other collectors as well. And I know from experience, I used to collect Silver Age comics, that there's always one, maybe two items that are your white whale, that you wish, you know, that you need, that you're looking for. You can't find it. You can't find it in flea markets. You can't find it on eBay. It's just these elusive items that are keeping you from completing your collection. And the thinking is maybe we have a listener who might be able to help you. So if you're a collector and you have and you're missing one or two items and it's driving you crazy, if you're a completist, is that the right word, a completist?
Yeah, that is the right word.
Is that a term?
Yes.
If you're a completist and there are a few gaps in your collection, there's a little gap on your shelf or in your record collection, or maybe you collect toys, vintage, what else? Dolls, I guess people collect coins, right?
Stamps.
No one collects stamps.
There's that upside down biplane stamp that's worth a lot of money.
What?
The upside down airplane stamp.
Oh, you're making a joke. It's upside down. It's a mistake. It's worthless.
Oh, they were holding the stamp upside down?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh my God.
They got their hopes up. It wasn't the upside down. Right. I guess it was an upside down. Yeah, there was a stamp printed. The image was upside down, and I guess a few hundred of them got out, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's like the double pressed Lincoln, right? That the Lincoln head that was had a double image of Lincoln. Remember that one?
Oh, was it on front and back?
No. It was Lincoln, but it was like he was a ghost. It was almost like a shadow of Lincoln.
Oh, I never heard about that one.
Yeah, that's very valuable.
And what
don't you wish? So the flaws in stamps and the flaws in coins make them more valuable. But isn't it interesting that the flaws in people make them worthless? People are worthless if they have flaws. Well, would you agree with that?
No.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that ironic?
No, everybody has flaws. You know you know that expression, nobody's perfect?
No, I've never heard that.
Well, usually people say it a different way. They say everybody's flawed.
Huh.
But it means the same thing.
Flawed. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that, you know what? If that's true, that everyone is flawed, that would explain a great deal.
Yes. I thought you knew that.
No, but now it all makes sense.
Yeah.
Now this world, this life suddenly makes sense. I think you might be right. Everybody.
Well, thanks. What was the missing part of your comic book collection back when you were collecting?
Oh no, there were some issues that comic books, of course, it's not just about the issue. It's like many collectors, it's also about the grade. You know, you also want it in certain conditions.
Oh, the condition, of course, yeah.
Yeah, and that's true, I'm sure, with records, and it's obviously true with, I guess it's true with stamps, and, I guess most collections. But, there were some issues that I had. I had a complete run of a certain titles, but a few of the titles I couldn't find in very good condition. VG or fine. These are the high end comics.
I had to sell
my collection.
You did, to put your kids through college?
Well, when my wife developed her drug habit.
Yeah.
But I used to tell people about the my kids' college fund.
Did you hire comic book appraisers, or did you?
Well, there are people that actually in Florida. I remember you would send your comic book down to Florida, and these independent appraisers would give them a grade, and not only give them a grade, they would seal them in an airtight frame, and send it back to you with your grade.
Wow.
And then you could sell it, and the grade then was verified. When you put it up for sale, people could buy with confidence that you weren't misleading.
Well, this is fascinating, Andy.
You think it is? This is interesting to you, really?
I don't collect myself anymore because I lost all my record collection in a series of hurricanes.
Huh.
So I'm no longer a hoarder. Of course, record collectors are not hoarders.
Right. They wouldn't want to be called hoarders.
No, no. No, collectors are never hoarders. So we only want to talk to collectors. And
what do you call guys? How do you refer to guys who collect hoards? I guess they're a different kind of hoarder.
They're just collectors.
Yeah.
They're just collecting something. They're just collecting something else.
Yeah. You can't judge them, Ken.
No, I'm not judging. I'm not judging them.
Everybody's flawed, Ken. That's something I learned just a few minutes ago.
So if you have that special item that you've been looking for that you haven't been able to find, we'll put the word out for you. The phone number here is 201-209-9368. Or if you're from Miami Beach and you'd like to meet up with Andy for a milkshake, he's open to doing that tonight.
Okay. Meet me for a milkshake. Oh, now I'm kind of dreading this.
There you go. You took the sock out of your mouth again for a split second there.
Hold on. No. Okay. Is this a little better?
Yeah.
201-209-9368. So we're looking for collectors who we're looking for that missing piece of your jigsaw puzzle. That one piece that's driving you crazy. That one item that you haven't been able to find. Hey, do you think, what are the odds, Ken, of hooking someone up, a collector with another collector, in the next 35 minutes?
Port affair. But we have a phone call, Andy. Are you ready? Are you prepared?
Do you think we're going to hook anyone up with, like, one collector with someone that can help them?
For sure.
Really?
Yeah. Are you ready? Are you ready to try?
I'm skeptical. Sure.
Because we have a call.
201. All right. 201-209-9368.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, that's good. You guys can be a big help. Ever since I was a little kid, I've wanted two things and never found them. One was an elephant foot umbrella stand. that I saw in a movie,
uh-huh.
and the other was a Buddha with a clock in its stomach.
Okay, elephant foot umbrella stand.
Right.
And you've looked on eBay for these things. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I have. I've looked all over. I've been to junk stores. I've been to 7-Eleven. I've been everywhere.
And wait, and sir, have you tried 7-Eleven?
Yes, I did. I even tried Wawa.
Okay, I missed that. Okay, and Wawa? Okay. And then what was the second item?
The second item was a Buddha with a clock in its stomach.
Well, interesting. A Buddha with a clock in its fat stomach.
Well, that seems very common. I feel like I've seen that around.
Well, where are they?
I'm looking on eBay. I did find an elephant head umbrella stand, but you're right. No elephant.
It's got to be the foot.
Yeah, no elephant feet.
Well, now, it was in a black and white movie.
In a perfect world, is this a real elephant foot that's
yes.
been that's been taxidermied or whatever they do?
I don't know. I don't know what happens when you cut an elephant's foot off.
Yeah, you used to be able to find elephant foot feet ottomans and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're right. There's also no Buddha with a clock in its fat stomach on eBay.
Wouldn't that be convenient if you find a dead elephant and you cut into its leg and there you find a bunch of umbrellas?
That would be convenient.
Just ready to go. Great. Like a set all right there. How convenient that would be.
Oh, Andy, you are so smart.
Well, what's your name, caller?
My name's Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Hi,
Gary.
The odds are, Gary, you're going to have to buy the umbrellas separately, probably.
Well, that's okay, because we have a garage full of umbrellas.
So wait, so elephant's foot. But so you'd think that these hunters and that were killing elephants for their tusks and
right.
the ivory, you'd think that they would try to sell off other parts of the elephant.
You'd think, wouldn't you? I thought
you
maybe they were killing elephants just for their feet.
They're leaving for every dead elephant that they're killing illegally, they're leaving 4 feet.
Yes,
four
they are.
Stands. They're leaving 4 umbrella stands on the tundra.
They're just wasting it. Do elephants go to tundra?
I don't know. Isn't that what they call it?
Truck.
Isn't that like mid Africa? Isn't that called the tundra?
No, that's the savanna, Andy. But you might be thinking of the long extinct polar elephants.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Gary, Gary, I am seeing elephant footstools on like Christie's. Christie's has an elephant footstool. A lot of elephant footstools, and some of them do look like. You could stick some umbrellas in there.
I need an umbrella.
Wait. Are they made from real elephants?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
Oh, it's an elephant footstool. I see. Elephant.
Yeah.
But you can't. But isn't there a way to like buy the footstool, like for what would it cost you? $100,000 from Christie's, and then hollow it out?
I don't know how they do this. I mean, maybe they put a wooden bucket in it or something.
Gary, if you buy an elephant footstool,
yeah.
I will hollow it out for you. I will do it myself.
You could do that.
It's my gift to you.
Oh,
it would have to count.
Anything.
It would have to count as your Hanukkah gift. But that's what it. I would do it for you.
Gary, it looks like they're not that expensive. It looks like an elephant footstool from the late 19th century got auctioned off for £300 about 20 years ago.
Well, I don't know how much that is in kilometers, but.
Is that the last one for sale 10, 20 years ago?
No, but this one also, it was 300 pounds, but it's not in good shape.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, neither is the rest of the elephant, so that's not a problem.
Yeah.
Ken, you might be mistakenly reading its weight.
Oh. Yeah, could be.
And let's see, Van Dyke's Taxidermy has an elephant footstool for $508.
Where'd you find that?
Van Dyke's Taxidermy.
I'm going to have to look for that.
Yeah.
That's why we're here, Gary.
Now, what about the Buddha with a clock in its stomach?
No,
my God, Gary, you are so greedy. We just found you a damn elephant footstool.
Well,
for the love of God, man.
Look,
you just had a great day.
I would call Ken and Andy, I would find an elephant footstool or
had a great day.
I just wanted to challenge you to see if you can find a Buddha with a clock in its stomach.
You'd be satisfied with what you've got. My God.
Gary, we're moving on. I would act fast on that $508 footstool. It's Van.
I think I better.
VanDykesTaxidermy.com, Gary.
Yeah.
All right, we're moving on to a new call. Hi, you're on the air.
Or you could wait till March. Aren't we giving away elephant footstools for our marathon premium this year, Ken?
Yes, but they're not hollowed out.
Yeah.
If you want to use it as an umbrella stand, you are going to have to hollow out all the what do you call it? The stuff that's inside the
innards?
The elephant. Oh, elephant. Yes, it's stuffed with elephant. So you're going to have to dig all that out. Andy, say hello to our new caller.
No, I'm too shy.
Hi, Andy. It's your favorite guy, Van from Carlstadt. But listen, the reason I'm calling is I know where he could find that elephant foot umbrella stand. And he could find that other item, too, as well. And I know exactly where.
Where?
On Staten Island, there's this 5 mile by 5 mile gigantic dump.
Uh-huh.
And he could rummage through that and probably find it. And also, I would just like to recommend a Netflix show to that last caller.
Uh-huh.
It's called Minimalism. And then the next time he would like clean out his house, he'd probably throw that elephant foot exactly where it belongs.
Hey, Van.
Yeah.
What's the name of that dump?
It's a mountain range of garbage. It's miles and miles of garbage.
Are you talking about the Arthur Kill or the Van Kill?
That's correct. Arthur Kill. It's the biggest in the United States, I think.
Yeah.
And
so if you're looking,
they should all be there, really.
If you're going there looking for a particular item, you've got to set aside about 2,000 years of your life.
Because I've seen these garbage dumps in New Jersey, you know, down by Kearney, and you know, they're completely overgrown. The only thing sticking out of them are these vents. And every once in a while, a tire will pop out of it.
Yeah, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah, so I don't think Gary's going to find his elephant foot at Arthur Kill State Park.
Well, he could. It's worth a shot, Ken. Don't be so pessimistic. Gary, you head down to Staten Island.
That's Van.
Give it a shot.
We're talking to Van now.
Well, but he's talking to Gary.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Love it.
Before we say goodbye to Van, let me ask Ken a question. Ken, are there any other callers?
Andy, there are no other callers.
Hey, so Van, how was your day?
Well, it's not great. It's not great, Andy. how was my day?
Van, where did the day go wrong?
The day went wrong about 40 years ago when I chose what career to have and how to retire. And that hasn't happened yet. So I guess that's where this day went wrong.
Okay, let's make that our topic. Let's make that our topic for the rest of the show. Give us a call. Give us a call and tell us where your day went wrong.
Okay.
I'm so sorry to cut you off. I am blessed with the privilege of being the worst caller you've ever had. You did a show where you were supposed to say a mistake happened in a song, like an accident happened and stayed recorded.
Oh, yeah.
So I called up saying an Aerosmith song where something broke during the intro of the song. And Andy called that the worst moment of his broadcasting career. So hopefully I made up for that.
He says that all the time, Van.
You more than made up.
Don't take it personally. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, Van.
201-209-9368. We only have a few minutes left, right, Ken?
25 minutes left, Andy.
No, that can't be true.
And then
6 o'clock again.
Little Danny's filling in for Weekly World Blues and Honky Tonk Radio Girl tonight.
So how long is he on the air?
2 hours.
Well, that's nothing, because we've been on the air so far, it seems like 6 or 7 hours, you and me.
No, we've only been on the air for about 35 minutes.
No.
Yeah.
Well, how do you explain it? It feels like an eternity.
You must have taken some drugs, Andy. It feels like 35 minutes to me.
I wish. I wish there were some drugs to take here in Miami. If only it wasn't a clean city. 201-209-9368.
Yeah, Miami's a drug-free zone. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
It's your best favorite caller.
Oh, yeah. Right. Nadia.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, Nadia. What? Tell me what you collect. Do you have a collection of anything?
Not really.
Good for you, Nadia. Don't start.
Something I can't find that I really want is a machine to hypnotize my parents to get me a phone.
Yeah. Okay.
A machine that will hypnotize your parents to get you a phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking on eBay for parent hypnotizer. Let's see what we come up with here.
You've got to be specific. You've got to put for a phone.
All you really need to do, Nadia, you can buy it, keep the receipt, hypnotize your parent, get the phone, and then return the hypnotizer.
I mean, that could work too.
Well, I found
but that means you have to keep. It means you have to keep the hypnotizer box that it came.
I don't know how big it's going to be.
Nadia, do you have friends that have phones?
Yeah. Most of my friends have phones.
Would you say most of your friends have phones?
What? Sorry, I didn't.
Would you say most of your friends have phones?
Yeah.
Now, have you made what arguments have you made to your parents? That aren't phones a safety device? Like they can keep track of you? They don't have to worry about you?
Yeah, I said that.
And what did they say to that?
No.
Have you tried weeping openly?
No.
Yeah, that might be, Nadia, that might be something.
I found a book on eBay about how to hypnotize your grandparents. It might.
That might not work.
I think it probably would work for parents as well, except it is pre-owned. The book is pre-owned. It doesn't look like it's in the greatest shape.
Oh, that sounds nice. I don't really trust eBay. Because last time I bought a book and it had writing in it.
Yeah.
Like on every page, and it was annoying.
Nadia, wouldn't you love us 1 week to have Nadia and her parents on the air together and Nadia try to hypnotize them?
That's not very possible. I'm in the basement right now.
Oh, you'd all have
no,
to come.
No, I don't mean that. Yeah, you, at this moment.
You'd all have to come down here. We could maybe even get a real hypnotist.
That would be nice. Yes.
Wouldn't it be easier, Nadia, to just spike their coffee with some hallucinogenic?
No, I don't think that's a great idea. I think that would be called poisoning, and then I might go to jail.
Poisoning, yes, that's what it is called. You're right.
Well,
how about
not the best idea?
How about dropping some mushrooms into their tea?
Also, not a great idea.
Also, poisoning, I think.
Nadia, you're not even listening. You're not even considering my ideas.
Yes,
all you do
I
is
am.
Just,
and
no,
I'm
you
saying
listen
it's
to
a
Ken,
bad
but
idea.
Then you just dismiss everything I'm saying.
Well, Nadia, our other topic is, did you have a good day today?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, was it only okay?
Yeah, it was okay, I guess.
This is our other topic.
Well, I'm
did
leading.
Have a good day today?
No, I'm leading up. Where did the day go wrong, Nadia?
No.
Can I guess? I'm going to guess science blank.
Science
I didn't
class?
Have science today.
Oh, you didn't have science?
We had social studies. And I guess that's kind of where it went wrong. We had to do ELA work, which was really annoying.
What's ELA work?
We had to do stuff we hadn't finished in the morning because our teacher decided to give us 1 minute to do it. Yeah.
Oh, what a slave driver!
Hey, Nadia, if you have to do a book report, if you have to do a report in social studies on the Bay of Pigs, you can ask me anything. I've been to a monument.
Cheating?
Yeah.
Nadia, what are you talking about in social studies these days?
Inflation.
Inflation? Wow.
Yeah, not the best subject.
No, there's so many other things you could be talking about.
Inflation.
Oh boy. So you have to say this. Oh my God. Next period is social studies, and for the next 40 minutes.
I don't have periods. I just have class.
Yeah, class. For the next 35 minutes, we're going to be learning about inflation. Why don't you tell your teacher that you're 11 years old? Just remind your teacher.
I'm not 11. I'm 10.
Oh, 10. Yeah.
And
well,
also,
you know what?
It's not 35 minutes. We have 20 minutes of social studies.
We're gonna consider you 11, Nadia, and that's the best lesson in inflation you're ever going to get.
Yeah,
hey, Nadia.
You know what
we could do? We could have a fundraiser to buy you a phone. How much is a phone?
Not
depends
much.
Depends which one you're talking about.
Okay, what's your dream phone? How much is the phone you want?
An iPhone, I guess.
Okay,
$1,000? A Samsung or something. It's only like
we could do that. Ken, why don't we have a little GoFundMe show for Nadia?
Because it's up to her parents.
Oh, please.
Yeah, those
please.
Are
Ken,
my parents.
I'm being serious.
I
Ken, we are
in a account.
We are her de, we are her de facto parents.
Let's get Nadia a burner phone so she can only talk to us.
Or her drug dealer.
Yeah.
A flip phone. That's
yeah.
a word.
How much is a burner phone?
Like $20.
Okay, how about no?
It's not.
How about just a
no,
flip phone?
Not. How can a phone be $20?
Have you never seen The Wire? They just buy them. It's like $20.
A phone that's $20 is not a great idea.
Yeah, but then you have to. Don't you have to pay for a plan?
You have to do a plan too.
Yeah, you buy minutes, so you only buy a couple of minutes.
That's not how life is supposed to work.
Well, you don't have to talk to Ken very long. Maybe that's a good idea. All you have to say to Ken is, "Look out for the avalanche." or pull that blue ripcord.
Oh.
Well, Nadia, talk to your parents about the whole family coming down, and we'll hypnotize your parents on the air.
No, the whole family comes down, and we'll have a fundraiser, special 60-minute GoFundMe.
Yeah. But I have to
for
go.
Nadia
okay,
to get a phone.
Bye.
Okay, bye, Nadia. Andy, I don't think that the issue is the money as much as the parents are philosophically opposed to Nadia having a phone.
I understand. Ken, yeah. I certainly understand. But if Nadia had her own booty, if she had $810 of her own,
right,
then she can walk down to the Best Buy. It's a mile and a half from her house.
Right.
And buy the phone herself.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel so great about doing that.
I'd have no problem doing that.
Yeah, I know. We're talking to Andy Breckman. He's live in Miami Beach tonight at the Betsy Hotel.
Oh, shut up. Wait, hold on. Don't know.
It's room 634. So if you're in Miami Beach, just head down to the Betsy Hotel.
There's no hotel called the Betsy.
Oh, yes, there is. That's where Andy.
No, there's not.
That's where Andy's staying.
If you just bought a hotel, would you call it the Betsy Hotel?
Yeah, that's a great name. The Betsy. Yeah.
Okay. I don't think so.
Andy will buy you and your all your friends a milkshake if you can get there by 10 o'clock tonight, 11
That's
o'clock, anytime.
Well, if you get here in the next 20 minutes, you'll be able to see me checking out of this hotel and moving to a different hotel.
All right.
If you get here in 20 minutes, you can help me carry my bags to the car.
You know, this book about how to hypnotize grandparents, it looks pretty good. It's only $12. Hi, you're on the air.
Why, hello. Hello, Andy.
How to hypnotize your grandparents.
Hi, who's this?
It's Pete the Gardener.
Oh, hey, Pete. How you doing?
Very well. I'm so sorry to hear about your impending death.
Not a problem. Not a problem. I'm going to get one of them balloons.
What a great way to go, then.
So sorry to hear about your impending death.
Oh, no, I'm not taking a hot air balloon ride. Don't worry. No, I'm going to have one of those avalanche rescue balloons on my back.
I hope it works. And it's not one of those recalled airbag rejects.
No, it's going to be great.
You know, I actually have seen, I've never seen an airbag inflate for a skiers, but I have heard of skiers have, this is true, have like instant tents that pop up to protect them.
Really?
Yeah.
In the event of in the event of avalanche or just if they get
stuck? No, in the event of avalanche, there's some kind of shelter that pops up that just protects you, so when you're buried, there's at least a little air pocket.
Wow. Huh.
I've seen that.
Well, I'm going to go with the balloon. I'm not going to go
with... whatever you want, son.
Yeah.
You make yourself happy.
But, Andy, we have a call. Hi, you're on the air. I thought we had a call.
It's still Pete the Gardener.
Yeah,
here.
Pete. Pete the Gardener.
Pete, do you have a collection? Are you a collector of anything?
Pete, how did your day go today?
God.
About a 97 out of 100.
Oh, so it didn't go wrong anywhere. That's pretty good.
It went 3% wrong, but I find that to be an acceptable negativity.
Yeah, that's a pretty good day in my book.
Well, thanks for calling, and this has been a great show.
That's not pretty good. That's effing excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Pete the Gardener, is there something that you've been trying to find to fill out your collection?
Actually, I don't have any collections. I'm thinking about getting some high-end fishing equipment because I found out my supplemental Medicare insurance will give me $600 for recreational things.
Really?
Skiing lift tickets, if I was so inclined.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not.
Wow.
I haven't lost you guys yet.
I tuned out. I got distracted. You're saying this is these are tax dollars you're talking about, right?
No. This is supplemental Social Security that I pay for over and above my plan A or whatever the heck it is. And I was looking at it the other day and I went, what the heck? And, hey, if they want to buy me some high-end fishing equipment, I'm more than willing to take them.
So you mean like a stick of dynamite?
No. That's non-sport fishing. I mean, it's very effective.
It is very effective.
Well,
okay, how many times have you done it?
It's one of the best ways to start an avalanche.
Oh, yeah. You have those cannons that shoot sticks of dynamite onto the slope to start start the avalanche.
Well, that's actually these ski resorts, they do that every morning.
I know.
They set off explosions.
That's like
they set off dozens of them.
I know, it's the greatest job in the world. You go out there with a cannon and you just get to shoot sticks of dynamite at the mountain.
What's great is you're shooting at a mountain, so you really can't miss.
Right. That's a target.
It's a target you can't miss.
It's a dream job. And usually you're doing it from some vantage point where you're not in danger of getting killed by the avalanche.
And you can tell yourself that you're saving lives.
Right.
And not because just having fun acting like a 14-year-old ne'er-do-well.
Right. What you're doing is shooting into the mountains and dislodging any loose. No.
Right.
So it won't come loose later when people are skiing.
Yeah, you do this before anybody gets up. It's the greatest job in the world.
And I could imagine so. Well, listen, guys.
Well,
I'm gonna,
as always, it's been great. Wait, I'm sorry. Can I just interrupt? Ken, do we have any other callers?
Yes, Andy, we have other callers.
Oh, okay. All right, Pete, it was great talking to you. We're going to say goodbye now.
Thanks, Pete the Gardener.
Love
goodbye.
The show.
Say goodbye. We're saying goodbye now, Pete.
Yeah, you said goodbye a few times, sir.
Yeah, you got to say goodbye to Pete at least four times.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Ken. Hey, Andy. How y'all doing?
Good. It's Zachary, Andy.
Yeah.
We're living a dream. Oh, okay. It's another regular caller.
Yeah, you sound disappointed. Hey. Andy, you sound disappointed that we're getting our regular callers calling in.
The reason I sound disappointed, Ken, is because I'm disappointed.
Well, when the show flops, we're trying to bring you back up, Andy.
Well, Andy, you know...
I know. Sometimes it's fun to have new blood. But this is fine, too. How you doing, Zach? How was your day? Oh, a 93%. Oh, that's
hey, Zachary, hasn't Bucci's show been great lately?
Oh, my gosh. That Bucci show. Yesterday was wonderful. With Joe on there?
Yeah, he's been on fire. And then a week ago yesterday, he did the cheese pull episode.
Andy, yeah, I got 6 feet on that.
I don't know if you've been paying attention to Bucci's show, Andy, but yeah, he's really been killing. Yeah. He's been killing.
Well, it's easy for him to do a good show because he's very likable.
Yeah.
He has a very good personality.
Right.
Think about now, the handicap Andy, that I'm
leaving. Bucci's scared to reach out to you and ask her to be your protege.
Think how hard it is for me to do this every week while I repel people.
No, it's true. It's like wearing ankle weights or something. No, exactly. No doubt about it.
Exactly. It's the radio equivalent of wearing ankle weights. That's right, Ken.
So, Zachary, is there something you're trying to find to fill out your collection?
Well, it's more collecting. You can find them, but it's the finance. I'm having a hard time finding money in order to obtain. The items.
Money.
It's always that electronic music gear. You know, there's so much out there, and some stuff is so salty in its price.
Right, right.
Hey, Zach, I'm just gonna put you on hold for a second. Just let's hold that thought. Put a pin in that. I just want to talk to Ken for 1 second.
Okay.
Hey, Ken.
Yes, Ken? Yes, Andy.
Are there any other calls? Any other calls there? Any are the lights at all? Look at the phone bank.
Yes, Andy. We do have other calls.
Oh, okay. Hey, man, great talking to you, Zach. Have a great week. Hope to talk to you next week. Okay, brother.
I'll hear you on Bucci next Tuesday, Zachary.
Yeah, don't be a stranger. Thanks for coming.
What a great show.
209-9368.
Bucci, every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. right here on WFMU. Hi, you're on the air. This is 7 Second Delay. This is not the Bucci show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's this?
Yeah. Alan.
Oh, hi, Alan.
Oh.
Wait, hold on, Alan. Is Alan a regular caller, Ken?
No, he is not.
Oh, hey.
I'm not a regular caller. I've called a few times through the years.
Oh, yeah. Al, we're talking to Alan.
Yeah, great to hear you again, Alan.
From Collinswood, New Jersey, right?
Close.
No, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where Alan's from.
So, Alan, what is it that you're trying to find to fill out your collection?
I'm looking for a NASCAR Alan Kulwicki, no relation, Hall of Fame pass.
NASCAR Alan Kulwicki race pass?
Hall of Fame hat.
Oh, a hat. How many other NASCAR hats do you own, Alan?
Maybe about 25.
You own 25 hats.
And you want the Alan Kulwicki NASCAR hat.
Now, Alan, do you wear these hats in public, or are they just kept in a pristine sort of a display case?
I'm sorry?
Do you wear them in public, or do you just keep them in a case, Alan?
I wear them.
Alan, I'm seeing an Alan Kulwicki NASCAR hat on eBay for
$40. Well, specifically, it's a Hall of Fame hat.
Oh, the Hall of Fame hat.
Hall of Fame
we're looking for the Hall of Fame hat.
NASCAR hat. Okay.
Hey, Alan, do you ever wonder, do you ever sit up at night, 3 a.m, you're lying in bed, and you wonder why you're not invited to more parties?
No, not quite.
Oh, because if you ever wonder that, I think I might have an answer.
Oh, I want to know the answer.
Okay. Well, it's my guess is, and I don't know Alan well, I'm just making an educated guess, it's the Hall of Fame NASCAR hat. That he's obsessed with.
Do you have a Richard Petty Hall of Fame NASCAR hat, Alan?
I don't. No.
Well, there's one on eBay for $30. Do you have a Dale?
What the?
A Dale Earnhardt?
I'm just gonna go through eBay now. He's looking for a specific hat. That was the whole idea of our show.
Yeah. But...
yeah. One specific hat.
One specific hat, Ken.
I'm following the criteria for the call-in.
Exactly. Okay. And now, Ken, what we do is we announce to our callers the NASCAR hat missing from Alan's display case.
Yeah.
His great white whale, that NASCAR hat. And now we see if any call, any other listeners have. Oh, this is so stupid. Why would anyone have a NASCAR hat
for this episode?
Alan, have you ever in your adult life ever met another adult that collects NASCAR hats?
Well, I collect all kinds of hats. But no.
Oh, if you were here, I'd give you. If you were in Miami, I'd give you a big hug.
Alan,
what am I going to do with you?
If you can get down to Miami Beach, Alan, Andy's staying in the Betsy Hotel.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I'm nowhere near there.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, well, thanks, Alan.
Okay. The Betsy Hotel is famous for its great security.
Is it? That's not what I
hear. Yeah. Yeah, no, they have a whole staff down there that'll wrestle you to the ground if you try to get in, if you're not a guest.
I thought the Betsy Hotel was famous for all of its illegal gambling games that go on.
They're famous for their milkshake bar.
All right, Andy, you have to bear with me. I have to put some money in my
your parking meter.
In my parking meter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Park now.
No, this is great. You want to hear something sad? This is one of the high points of our show.
No, I'm done. I'm done already.
I kind of look forward to these moments.
Yeah.
Can I say goodnight now?
No, we have another 20 minutes to go.
No, we do not. Yes. No, that's not even funny, Ken. Take that back.
Okay.
That's a cruel joke to play on people.
All right. I'm exaggerating. We have another 15 minutes to go.
No. This show is over. Play the theme song.
It's not really over. Well, let's see. Okay. I guess it technically is maybe over.
By the love, yeah. By all that's holy. By all that's holy, Ken. They shoot horses, don't they?
They do.
There it is.
They're usually foaming at the mouth when they shoot them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh,
the horses are foaming at the mouth.
Yes.
That means it's time to play our theme song.
Are you foaming at the mouth?
Oh, yes, Ken. Metaphorically.
Okay. So next week we're airing another listener quiz, and then the week after that I think we're back live in studio.
I wouldn't miss it. I'll be there with bells on, except I won't have bells on.
Yeah. Well, when you pick up some bells, pick up a decent microphone, too. Why don't you?
I'll be there live. Hey, Ken, be careful on the slums.
Oh, I will. I'm going to have...
You know what, Ken, you know when you're skiing, you know how to make that pizza wedge?
Yes, a snowplow. Yeah.
Yeah, the snowplow. Yeah, you know how to do that?
Right. But the snowplow is not a good strategy for outrunning the avalanche.
Yeah. Now, there's another way to stomp. It's the Sonny Bono method, but it I wouldn't recommend it.
Oh, with a tree. That doesn't work anymore because they make you wear a helmet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you take care of yourself, Kenny. Well, I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Okay, see you in 2 weeks. Thank you to Jeremiah for the newsletter. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Coming up next, it's Little Danny filling in for Weekly World Blues, and he will also be filling in for Honky Tonk Radio Girl tonight from 8 to 9 p.m., so stay tuned. Thank you.
my mind. Now and I'm going away just to worry you off of my mind. Now you keeps me worrying, bothered all the time. Now I ain't never loved but four women in my life. There's my mother, my sister, my sweetheart, and my wife. Now and if you don't want me, baby, please don't dog me around. Now and if you don't want me, baby, please don't dog me around. Now just like you found me, you can put me down. She says goodbye, baby, if you call that gone. Now she says goodbye, baby, if you call that gone. You can leave me now, but I declare you won't stay long.
Down the aisle. lonesome, haven't slept a wink. I walk the floor and watch the door, and in between I drink black coffee. Loves a hand-me-down brew. My nerves have gone to pieces in this weekday room. I'm talking to the shadows, 1 o'clock till four. And Lord, how slow the moments go when all I do is pour black coffee. Since the blues caught my eye, I'm hanging out on Monday. My Sunday dreams to dry. Now a man is born to go a-loving. A woman's born to weep and pray. To stay at home and tend her oven. And drown her past regrets in coffee and cigarettes. Waiting for my baby to come around.